I should take only 30 minutes. Now I'm going to take only 30 minutes, otherwise he would say, let my people go. So it is a great joy to be here. Thank you, Pastor, and the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, supporting the ministry, praying. Thank you for the big gift bag and all the gift cards. I don't know what to do with all those stuff. And thank you so much, and I appreciate my good friend, Pastor Bonifacius, bringing me to this place. And I really enjoyed Pastor Ross for the testimony and the DVD presentation and the great song. Amazing and wonderful people you are. Thank you again for all that you are doing for the mission work around the world, and especially the ministry in India. Without your help, we cannot do what we do there. So I was asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to preach? I know this is a mission conference, and I asked somebody, hey, in America, what do you do for mission conference? They said, well, all they do is talk about money, asking people to give. Well, I'm not going to do that, Pastor. I will not embarrass you in any way. Please turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this is one of the messages which the Lord laid in my heart to preach this evening. It's a tremendous portion of God's word. If you have your Bibles ready, I'm going to read. I'm going to read all the 10 verses. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, and the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Notice verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Very, very important. Our preaching and our practice should go hand in hand. Verse 6 it says, and he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Notice verse 8 where it says, for from you, amazing truth, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your precious word. Lord, I pray thou truly speak to our hearts. Challenge us, O Lord. Father, I pray thou truly help us to appropriate that which we are going to hear from your holy word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I have given a title to this message. It may not be a typical mission message, but mission is right there. What type of people God wants us to be? In other words, the type of people God expects us to be. That's the title of the message. You know, Apostle Paul was a man who was truly burdened to reach the lost with the gospel. During his second missionary journey, he traveled to Philippi. The background of the Thessalonian church we find in Acts chapter 16 and 17. As soon as he got saved, His heart was to see men and women coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. He traveled to Philippi. You know what happened in Philippi. People persecuted him. They threw him in jail. In a miraculous and wonderful way, he was able to come out from the prison. From there, he traveled to Amphipolis. From there to Apollonia. Finally, he reached to a place called Thessalonica. 33 miles he traveled from Philippi to reach Thessalonica. There he preached God's word. Acts chapter 17 tells us a group of people trusted in the Lord for salvation. This reminds me, faith comes by hearing God's word. If you faithfully proclaim the word of God, men and women would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and God. Now, Acts chapter 17 tells us Apostle Paul could not be there for a longer period of time. All scholars are not in agreement how much of a time Apostle Paul spent there. But according to Acts chapter 17, less than a month, during which time Apostle Paul taught them some of the most important things. But he could not continue to be there in that place. He had to leave. Later on, Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to commend those people. That's just a brief background of this epistle. Now, I'm not going to leave the title of the message. What type of people God wants us to be? Of course, we could answer that question from Genesis to Revelation. But I would like to stick with the text which I read. And I would like to point out from these 10 verses, what type of people we should be in the sight of God. And I will not take more time. Notice in verse 3 it says, remembering without ceasing, your work of faith and labor of love. You know what type of people were they? They were laboring people. That's what God expects from us. That's what the mission conference is all about. The Lord saved us. Now we ought to be reaching the lost with the gospel. Down through the years, theologians have tried to explain what is this work and what is this labor Apostle Paul is talking. If you would read 10 different commentaries, you would get 10 different answers. All theologians are not in agreement, the work and labor, what Apostle Paul is talking. Some would say the people in Thessalonica, they were social workers. They did a lot of social activities. They tried to help the poor and the needy. I don't have any problem with any of those, but that's not what Apostle Paul is talking. When he commended them and said, thank God you are a group of working and laboring people. The word labor brings the idea, not only they worked, they labored maximum. Whatever they were doing, they were very enthusiastic about it. They put their maximum effort to bring others to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may ask me, where did I get that thought? You read verse 8, it says, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, in Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God would spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. This reminds me the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. When the night comes, no man can work. Friends, may I remind you this evening, this is the day time in our own lives. Today is the day that you and I, we can labor for the cause of Christ. Now, I would like to ask you, since it's a mission conference, when is the last time that you remember that you labored for the cause of Christ? We have a lot of excuse. Well, we may say, well, we don't have much time. But God expects his people to work and labor for him, bringing others to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about a heathen country like India. One third of the landmass of India, we are 1.2 billion people groping in darkness. 82% of them, they are Hindus, 11% Islamic people, 3% claim to be Christians. If you would ask me what percentage of them are truly born again, I should say one half of a 1%. I just received, just 2 days ago, report from two teams. We send out 18 teams, consists of 135 people. 571 of them trusted in the Lord for salvation. They undergo persecution, difficulties, but God's word says, go into the world and preach this gospel to all creatures. That commission, that mandate is given to all of us. Now, I often tell people this, it is wonderful to listen a message, but unless and until we appropriate the truth in our own lives, it's not going to do any good in our own lives. I give the example of a man who is sick. He went to the doctor. He got his prescription, excited. He went to the pharmacy and got his medicine. He put it under his pillow and slept. Is that going to do him any good? No, absolutely, it's not going to do him any good. You can hear a message being preached. Unless and until you appropriate the truth in your own lives, it's not going to do a bit of good. And I, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 is the key verse in 1 Thessalonians. You know what type of, why they became vibrant, enthusiastic people? The answer is given in verse 13. I'm not going to turn to that place, but I'm going to, three simple things mentioned in chapter 2, verse 13. When Apostle Paul preached the word of God, they received it as what? The word of God, not as the word of Paul. Paul would have been disappointed if those people had received the word as Apostle Paul's word. Number two, they appreciated, they also anticipated. They have a tremendous desire to be in a place where God's word was preached. They wanted to listen. Third thing, appreciation is good, anticipation is good, but if you are not appropriate or apply the truth into your own lives, what good it is going to do? This is another mission conference. And Apostle Paul truly commended them and said, thank God you are laboring people. Now you need to ask that question. When is the last time I labored for the cause of Christ? That you need to answer. Your pastor cannot answer that question. Or any others. You yourself should answer. But every one of us going to be responsible answering that question. Now notice verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. How? Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They were receptive people. What did they receive? They received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And I often tell people this country has been truly blessed by God. No one would persecute you for reading God's word. This is not the way in many places in the other parts of the world. We have Hindu converts in our school. When those young children, when they get saved, they cannot take the Bible to their home. They are being persecuted. One young lady gave a tremendous testimony a few years ago, tears rolling down from her eyes, and this is what she said, I have one prayer request for you to pray for me. Please pray that I'll have the liberty and the freedom to read God's word in my home. I know there are young people who got saved. They take their Bible, put it under their pillows or inside their box. When they get an opportunity, they open it and read. And I believe with all my heart, for faith and practice, what God Almighty has given to us is His Word. The Bible tells us as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that he may grow thereby. If a person who does not spend time with God and His Word, naturally he will not have any interest for missions. Where do we get? What we should do, we get it from God's word. You know, any country, any home, any society where God's word was exalted, there the Lord blessed them. America is a prime example to that. This country was founded upon the principles of God's word. Look at how God blessed this country. England is now another example. There was a general in Queen Victoria's army approached him and asked her a profound question. This was his question. Could you kindly explain to me how did you achieve this great kingdom? You know how she responded? Pointing out the Bible and said, that book accounts for the supremacy of England. George Washington said it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. George Washington, the year 16, the president said, but for this book, we could not know right from wrong. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 12, we read, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Apostle Paul truly commended them and said, thank God, you are receptive people. God has given us his word. To absorb and study and meditate upon God's word. Now, what type of people God wants us to be? God wants us to be laboring people. He wants us to be receptive people. Now, notice in verse 7, so that you are ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. What a tremendous commendation. Wherewith Apostle Paul commended those people and said, you are good ensamples. That old English word ensample simply means what? Examples. The day in which we live, people do not want to hear anything about leading a consistent Christian life. You know what's the cry of the world? Leave me alone. Don't tell me what to do and what not to do. Now, God expects his people to be good examples. Often, young people in the Bible college would come to me and ask, sir, what area we ought to be example? I tell them, the whole Christian ethics is being summed up in that verse where it says, where you eat or drink, whatsoever we do, do all for the glory of God. What an amazing testimony. Daniel in Babylon, and Joseph in Egypt. As a young man, Daniel purposed in his heart and said, I will not defile myself. Apostle Paul truly commended those people and said, thank God you are good examples. Now we need to ask this question to ourselves, am I a good example? A good example to the wife and wife to the husband and the children, the society, the fellow believers. If you are not good examples in the area of coming to church, giving, praying, if there are things to be changed, we ought to change. That's why I said, unless and until we appropriate the truth of God's word, it's not going to do a bit of good in our own lives. And Apostle Paul truly commended them and said, you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. I often hear people would say, I don't care what people think. Well, we ought to be caring what others think. And Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians we read, you ought to be good examples even among unbelievers. They may not go and read the Bible, but they look at our life. I also often tell people it's not worth to build our lives with the wood, hay, and stubble. May God Almighty help us to build our lives with silver, gold, and precious stones. A day is going to come, you and I, we are going to stand before God Almighty to give an account. How we lived here upon this earth is very, very important. As the preacher was preaching last night, you and I, we will not go before the white throne judgment, but we are going to go and stand before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Your works are going to be judged, and you are going to be rewarded. Salvation is by gift, and the reward is earned. So we don't work for the salvation. Salvation is a free gift. And I believe with all my heart, the greatest doctrine in the Bible is the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What type of people God wants us to be? God wants us to be laboring people. He wants us to be receptive people. He wants us to be exemplary people. Now notice verse 8. Important truth. For from you. What an amazing truth that it is. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia, in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. What a tremendous commendation. Not only from Pastor Jenkins. For from you, every born-again believer, that's what it means. For from you, sounded out the word of the Lord. They declared the glorious gospel to men and women who were groping in darkness. Every time I think about the word sounding out, I think about the sounding board. You know, the sounding board takes the middle place. The sound comes from one direction and it hits the board. As soon as it hits the board, it projects it out for the benefit of others. That's what exactly being done by the believers in Thessalonica. They were receptive people. They received it. What did they receive? They did not keep it for themselves. They were willing to give it to others. Many of us, we act like Dead Sea. Everything goes in the Dead Sea. What happens stays in. Nothing goes out. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. You need to ask this question. When is the last time that I sounded out God's word? Think about great men, great missionaries who came to India, Africa, China. This morning I was reading about the Lone Star Mission. In 1856, the Lone Star missionaries came to the southern part of India. Long 15 years they served the Lord, they say. In 15 years' time, only 10 converts. Only 10 in 15 years' time. They said, we are going to close down the mission. There was one man by name Samuel Smith. He said, he cried and prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, let not these people close down this mission. Finally, they decided they are going to keep the mission open for some more time. The next 30 years' time, they have seen 15,000 people coming to know the Lord. Friends, sometimes we don't see the fruit. Adoniram Judson, many, many years he worked hardly, he was able to see a few. By the time the service was over, he has seen 63 pastors who were trained and a number of churches, over 70,000 converts. All happens when we are motivated to do the work of God. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. That's what mission is all about. People taking it seriously, the mandate which the Lord has given to us. And I often tell people, one prayer request God Almighty has given to us, the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. You know what is the prayer request he has given to us? Go into the world and preach this gospel to all creatures. Think about 1 billion Hindus groping in darkness. We have over 1 billion Hindus, over 1 billion Islamic people, over 1 billion Buddhists. Nothing is going on among those people. What happened? I come across people who would tell me, well, I'm saved, but I have no desire. As our brother preached last night, I tell them, when you go home, read the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, reading from verses 19 down to 31, where we read, the rich man cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. I'm tormented here in this flame. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. The request was refused. Finally, he prayed and said, I have 5 brothers. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Send one from the dead so that he can testify to those people. I don't want them to come to this place. Friends, one life. There is no second chance. Once to die, afterwards the judgment. Can you imagine millions and millions of people heading to Christless eternity? What part are we playing? Is it just enough to give, to pray? Both are good, giving and praying, wonderful. But you also ought to be motivated to get across your street or tell some people about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need not to be an eloquent preacher. My friend, Pastor Boniface, is an outstanding example. I don't know how many thousands of people he won to the Lord. Every time, early morning, he was out distributing, giving tracts to people. Faith comes by hearing God's word. May this conference cause us to be motivated to have a passion for souls. You know what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ when he saw those multitudes of people? He was moved with compassion. I request you, I ask you to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, give me a heart full of compassion. May this mission conference do something in our own lives to be motivated to go out and tell some people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what type of people were they? They were laboring people, receptive people, exemplary people, mission-minded. Now notice verse 9. It says, for they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and the living God. Is it not an amazing truth, my friend? We serve the true and the living God. Now, Apostle Paul, they were separated people. Turn to God. Apostle Paul is not talking about reformation. Reformation is the lie of the devil. I often tell people, you cannot reform a pig. A pig is a pig. You can give bath, put a ponytail, earring, put a coat, and have a nice chain. But the heart is not changed. Therefore, Reformation, there are a lot of people teach, do, 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 do. Someday you are going to make it. You know what? Bible is the only one which teaches us what? It's done. Done. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it's done. We don't do a thing to be saved. Salvation is not by works. Works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. They turned to God. They turned to God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This morning afternoon I was reading about Mel Trotter. You all know the story about Mel Trotter, how he got saved in the Pacific Garden Mission. A man who became an alcoholic at the age of 20. Even he just removed the shoes from his three-year-old daughter who was dead, took the shoes and bought a liquor and drank. That man got saved. What a change brought into his own life. The Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, where all things are passed away. An 84-year-old man came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through my cousin who led me to the Lord. All 84 years the man was worshipping idols. The day he received the Lord Jesus Christ, he went to his home. He pulled down all the idols which he was worshipping for all those years. The sons came around and asked him, what went wrong? Why are you doing this? You know how the old man responded? I received the Lord Jesus Christ. I can no longer worship these idols and Christ. Friends, there are people who think they can worship God and live for the world. It's not possible. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 2, love not the world. You know what that word, love not the world, simply means? Stop loving the world. If the action is in progress, it says stop. Immediately stop loving the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. These are not of the Father but of the world. The world what? That passeth away, and the lust thereof, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Is it not an amazing truth, friend? Someday you and I, we are going to stand before God Almighty to give an account how we lived here upon this earth. What type of people God wants us to be? Laboring people. Now ask the question, am I laboring? Do you have an opportunity to get across your street and tell some people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't be ashamed. That's why Apostle Paul said, gospel is the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation to who? Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes get the forgiveness of sins. Now we have that. They let the whole earth hear what they have to hear. Who Jesus Christ is. What he has done. He died on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. The whole earth should hear who Christ is. What he has done. One last thing I would like to bring before you. Notice in verse 10 where it says. It says in verse 10. And to wait for his son. From heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know what type of people were they, friends? They were expectant people, waiting for that glorious return. Those of us who are saved, we are going to be translated, we are going to be taken away from this world. What about the millions who live around us? If they don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if they don't accept him as their personal Savior and God, God has no B plan. As someone said, his B plan is his A plan. Only one way God provided. That is through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the characteristics of God is immutability. That big theological word simply means unchangeableness. The one who promised to come, he's going to come, friends. He's going to come. I stand here, as you sit here, is a reality. We don't set dates. We don't know when he's going to come. But one thing is sure, he's going to come. But in the meantime, you and I, we have a profound job to do, to reach the lost with the gospel. The Bible tells us every man, 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 says, every man has this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Every man, that's why Christian life is a profound and wonderful life. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature, where all things are passed away. Now you need to ask that question. Do I have a desire to reach the lost with the gospel? When is the last time that I have given out a tract or told some people about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't done, would you pray this prayer this evening and say, Lord, give me a heart full of compassion? What happened to our Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he saw those multitudes of people, he was moved with compassion. You know what is our problem? Our problem is this. What we see around us, it does not move us. We know for sure, men and women who are groping in darkness, if they don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will die and go to hell. What type of people God wants us to be? Laboring people. Receptive people. Exemplary people. Mission-minded. Separated people. Above all, expectant people. Waiting for that glorious return. May God Almighty speak to our hearts. One thing I would like to ask you tonight, if you don't have that burden, would you pray tonight and say, Lord, give me burden for the perishing souls? In your own home, you can start. Some of your kith and kin never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Some of your co-workers never trusted the Lord for salvation. Would you just tell them? You know what the Bible says? If you don't declare this truth, I will require their blood in your hand. Their blood in your hand. Opportunities will not come back. This day is the day God has given us to labor for him. Would you take it seriously? Would you pray tonight and say, Lord, give me a desire for the souls? Let me close with this. Many times we think, I cannot do much. I cannot speak eloquently. I'm afraid to talk to people. You know what the Bible tells, friend? The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Charlotte Tucker, you might have heard the story of Charlotte Tucker. At the age of 54, the Lord called her and said, Charlotte, I want you to go to the northern part of India. She tried to argue with the Lord and said, Lord, not me. I'm 54 years old, I cannot go. My skin color is different from theirs. The moment I go there, they would kill me. The Lord pressed upon her heart and said, I want you to go, Charlotte. Finally, she obeyed the call of God at the age of 54. She left the shores of England. 18 long years, she served the Lord there in the northern part of India. In the very first year, she learned the Hindustani language. On a Christmas Eve, she went to be with the Lord. All what God expects us to make ourselves available to him. Would you make yourselves available to him? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Only one question I would like to ask you. Would you make yourselves available to the Lord and say, Lord, give me a heart full of compassion? If that's your prayer, would you raise your hand and say, Lord, thank you. The Lord bless you. Anyone else along with this dear ones? Thank you, thank you, thank you. The Lord bless you. Anyone else? Would you pray this prayer and say, Lord, give me a heart full of compassion. Give me the burden for souls. When Apostle Paul, he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Would you raise your hand that we can pray for you? Anyone else? Would you surrender your life to him and say, Lord, take my life. Use me to win some souls before you call me home. Anyone else along with these dear ones? Thank you. The Lord bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. Say, so those hands. The Lord bless you. Anyone else? The Lord bless you. Anyone else? We are going to sing a song. When we sing this home, if you would like to make it public, we could come. The pastor is here. You could come over here and kneel down and pray and ask the Lord to help. Go ahead and sing a song. Stands up, please.
Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to save the lost. Oh, that thy love story of power.
His way. We appreciate this night, this message. Powerful thoughts from God's Word. We give the Lord the praise for it. Let me give you some announcements tonight. Let me encourage you, if you're here but you've never trusted Christ,